This is Comic Picks by the Glick.
Hey, I'm your host, Jason Glick.
Hey, Jason. How's it going? And what do you have on tap for us?
Well, it's going pretty good. And I'm going back to like the well for something that, you know, a follow-up to something we talked about years ago. I guess like a European comic series that I really enjoyed and something I thoroughly recommend that everyone check out, called The Meta Barons by Alejandro Jodorowsky and artist Juan Jimenez. It's like that was basically them telling the story of their ultimate warrior who first appeared in Jodorowsky and Mobius's series, The Inkall, as like the ultimate warrior of the universe. It's like just the guy who showed up and he's like the greatest warrior in the universe. He's ready to, like, you know, fight and kill anyone. It's like, because, you know, he's that good. It's like, you know, you fight him is to die. It's like, he's just like, you know, like that badass. And, you know, it's like, that was fine, you know, for that series and all. But then, you know, Jodorowsky got to thinking, like, you know, hey, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Why is he, what kind of like life did he have to live in order to be the greatest warrior in the entire galaxy? And it was that kind of thinking, and, you know, like Jodorowsky having a unique train of thought that has led him to be a beloved cult filmmaker and creator over the decades, that led him to give us, like, you know, the Meta Barons like series that basically told the story of how Othon. It's like the first Meta Baron, like originally like just like a mercenary and soldier for hire. It's like, you know, became the first great warrior. It's like, and all the crazy stuff that happened to him and his cast. It's like over the decades, and eventually leading up to the current Meta Baron, the one who appeared in the Inkall, who basically goes by the name of, you know, like No Name. The instance that, you know, his sense of self has basically been eradicated to the point where he's just the Meta Baron. It's like, he did not have a proper name and all. He is just, you know, like the greatest warrior in the galaxy, because all of his family had like lived this like really messed up lives in order to like beforehand in order to be like, you know, regarded as like the greatest warriors in the galaxy. And it's like in the end, like, of that series, it basically led to him, you know, like basically like declaring war on the galaxy. And yeah, that seemed a pretty good place, you know, like for the series to end. But, well, like, as like the as like for a spinoff of the Inkall, it's like the Meta Barons was really well acclaimed, sold well, and was generally really well liked by comics fandom. Like, it's hard to, like, in terms of, like, you know, like European comics, like, it's one of the things that I would like highly recommend as like anyone check out. In fact, you know, while I do like the Meta Baron follow-up series on balance overall, I would say that if you haven't read the Meta Barons, go read that. It's available in like a nice omnibus format, and it's got like just, and the level of storytelling is there, just like, it's crazy, it's fun. It's like Jodorowsky and Jimenez just doing modern myth making on an incredible scale with writing that surprises you. It's like on like in every volume, it's like an art that just, you know, like dazzles on every page. It's great, it's fantastic. And I guess, you know, it's probably like, you know, maybe a spoiler to say that, you know, like trying to you know, live up to that what it's doing, what the Meta Barons did, seems like it'd be like a fool's errand. But I think that, you know, the Meta Baron does kind of like succeed in there in its own awkward back asswards way, like after like these like four like American volumes and like eight European volumes, like total. Because basically, you know, where the Meta Barons was like the story of like, this generational story of this, like of the Meta Barons clan, the Meta Baron, as the title implies, is all about No Name's exploits, you know, after he declared war on the universe. And, well, we're basically told that, you know, hey, you know, he did that, he survived, but the, you know, techno, leadership that was ruling it was apparently like destroyed, and now ruling over things is the Techno Pope, who is just, you know, just like a squirrely evil bastard, as you'd expect, like running things like with, like, you know, preying on the on the blind faith of the universe's like inhabitants, while just like, you know, like just doing whatever he wants with the help of his right hand cardinal, or like ornate. We're introduced to them in the first volume, the techno admiral and the anti baron, and basically the first volume does not get off to like the best of starts, because it's basically all about, you know, like the techno pope delegating like a leadership of Marmorola, the sacred planet that has Epiphyte, the fuel that, you know, that fosters like interdimensional intergalactic travel, like to Wilhelm 100, the techno baron, and him and Wilhelm, like, you know, a real like bastard who just like has like these big arms, who can only move by getting like regular injections of like anti-gravity material, Epiphyte. Just saying, hey, you know, it's like, this is a guy, this is going to be a promotion for me, but oh wait, turns out that the guy who was running things before me didn't say that, you know, we're actually running out of this fuel that runs the universe. It's basically think of Dune, if someone told the Emperor that, hey, you know, run out of spice, man. There's nothing left on Arrakis here. That's basically like what happened, situation he finds himself in. And, well, basically figures that, hey, you know, it's like, well, the Meta Baron, it's like, you know, he's, you know, like still hanging around here. He's probably got access to this. I got to find some way to kill him. And, oh, turns out that, you know, he's aware of the, he and his servant, Titanus, it's like a squirrely, like subservient Igor type person, are both aware of the fact that, you know, hey, the Meta Baron was wounded by his, by his grandfather's Steelhead. So they go in to find the sword that Steelhead used to wound him with, and now they're gonna, like, you know, take the blood from that sword to go and make a clone of the Meta Baron in order that will defeat him. They call this the Anti Baron, and, you know, it's like it's okay. It's probably worth mentioning right now that while Alejandro Jodorowsky is the father of the Inkal universe, like, and also wrote both the Inkal and the Meta Barons, he's only credited as, like, you know, with the story here. So the actual person who wrote this is Jerry Fissen, who has some other background in European comics, but nothing that I've read. And it's like, and on one hand, it's like, you kind of get the feeling it's one of those situations where, like, Jodorowsky, you know, wrote a bunch of, like, you know, detailed notes on cocktail napkins, and that Friesen just looked at this and had to go, was like, okay, well, let me just go ahead and, like, do what I can with this. It's like, none of these four volumes read like Jodorowsky, like, wrote them. It's got the whole, like, you know, like, techno this and bio-paleo shit that. But it really does feel like, you know, like this is someone else, like, you know, at the driver's seat here. It's like, you don't get, like, the craziness that you got with the Meta Barons, but, you know, Friesen, to his credit, does try to do some different stuff here. It's like with the best thing you can say about, like, this first volume is that, you know, it shows you that, you know, like, it shows you, like, a Meta Baron who is just, like, you know, decided, like, you know, who is basically, like, you know, doesn't want to be the greatest fighter in the universe. Someone who is just, like, you know, who's just been dealt this hand and is trying to deal with it the best he can, regardless of, you know, what it brings him. And in this case, you know, hey, you're, it's like, in order to, like, deal with this, you know, you're someone, like, some crazy people, like, you know, decided to, like, come up with a clone of yourself that they've raised to adulthood and is being sent to kill you. Like, it's interesting, but I can't say that it's really, like, you know, makes you go, like, okay, yeah, the idea of following up on the Meta Barons, it's like, you know, with this volume, like, is a good idea. No, like, it does have some good art from Valentin Secher, who does employ, like, a very detailed photorealistic style, but not in one that, in a way that feels just, you know, like you're what am I trying to say? It's not just like he's tracing, like, you know, people to like act in like, you know, photorealistic ways, but just like, you know, he's just trying to like, you know, draw characters in detailed ways to make, to have them act out in believable ways on like on the page. It's good photorealistic art that doesn't feel like stilted or like, you know, overly like trained and all. It's like, so it's like, I mean, it's solid work, and also it's like, it's and it's good to see him when he reprises this work in the third volume, like as well, when he gets to well, relive a certain popular movie series. It's like, you know, later on, but we'll get to that in a second. But volume one, like I said, doesn't really inspire confidence for this continuation of the Meta Barons, but it does at least like, give you the idea that, you know, maybe we're going to do something different, and that's that potential is followed up on with the next book, the Techno Cardinal and the Transhuman. This features art from Nico Henrichon, who is someone who is I'm definitely familiar with, like from his work on the Noah graphic novel, and also his work for Marvel, like for Marvel on New Mutants, Doctor Strange, and also with Brian K. Vaughan on Pride of Baghdad. It's like, I mean, it's always kind of nice when you see like an American artist, like, you know, well, I guess Henrichon is like a European artist who made the transition to American work, and now he's making transition back to European work, and it's like, it shows that he does some really, really great detailed impressive stuff that's like, you know, detailed yet expressive in a way that kind of reminds me of Hayao Miyazaki's work on Nausicaa of the Valley of Wind, only it's like, you know, it's like a lot more violent, a lot more ribald and explicit in its sexuality as well, and with volume two though, it's like it also gets us more into the like, you know, efforts of the Techno Pope to try and find a way to salvage the rule of the galaxy, as he finds out that it's slowly contracting, because it turns out that this fuel, the Epipite, well, it turns out that, you know, it's not just fuel, it's actually like kind of the building blocks of the universe itself, that as people are trying to use it, it runs out on Marmola, and it's also like slowly resulting in a contraction of the universe itself. So the Techno Pope is trying to figure out just, you know, how do we deal with this, and Ornate, his right-hand man, decides to, agrees to help him out, trying to find a way here, like, assuming that he is made like a techno cardinal, and which, you know, this happens, and you know, he's castrated as a result, because, you know, that's what they do for techno popes. And also, like, he's also has to deal with this like artificial individual known as a Simak, which is, you know, like, I guess it's an artificial being that is like, you know, humanoid in nature, but is also just like, you know, like looking out for its own best interests as well. And as this is going on, like the Meta Baron, well, this is where things get interesting, because the Meta Baron like realizes like, you know, the universe is coming to an end, and he realizes like, you know, what have I done with my life? What am I supposed to do now? And so he decides, you know, hey, I'm just going to try and be human now. I'm going to try and like, open myself up to human sensation. So he reverts his, like, all the processes that have led to his, like, you know, like, pseudo immortality. So that he's now able to, like, to feel, like, human emotions and all, like, live as humans do. And so what does he do? Well, this is a European graphic novel. So he decides to, like, you know, fuck as many prostitutes as he wants. Like, he just says, like, you know, the world's going to end. I mean, the universe is going to end. So I'm just going to have it like, go down, like, you know, fucking as I want. And, well, Ornate, you know, finds out about this. Because, like Ornate feels that, you know, hey, like, the Meta Baron, like, as, like, one of the gardens in Marmorla, it's like, you know, may be able to figure out just, you know, how to save this universe. And because the thing is, well, it turns out that, you know, like that, as once Ornate figures out, you know, what the Meta Baron is up to, just, you know, having sex while the universe dies, well, he figures out, hey, you know, I can use this to my advantage, because Ornate is not actually a man; he's actually a woman. It's like he's just been like pretending to be one in order to rise in the ranks of the Techno Pope's administration. There's more to that here, but I'm gonna try and, like, you know, be like not trying to, like, give out more than that, but like saying that, you know, Ornate is actually a woman. Well, this is important because, well, It's like, well, the Metabaron is a very heteronormative series, and you know, like even as like you know, Metabaron, you know, like has sex with as many women as he can at like at the end of in the universe. Well, Ornate, you know, does go into that, does try to play into that, and tries to like you know get on the Metabaron's you know like a good side, if you can see what I'm saying. So. But this is like one of those situations where it's like, you know, I'm willing to accept that, you know, like, hey, like they have sex, they fall in love. It's like, and it's like, and they've, and their entire worldviews are changed because, you know, like it's a crazy situation, but I kind of appreciate that, you know, if you're just getting me to accept that, you know, hey, this is how they are, because I think that, you know, trying to actually write a story with the Metabaron actually falling in love risks lots of like awkward dumb dialogue and would have taken like you know probably a whole solid volume like in order to make work. And yeah, I can understand like you know some people will say that you know like yeah it's like you're just giving it a pass because they didn't want to do the hard work because yeah I probably think the hard work probably would have been really dumb. It's like and probably really really obvious to get to the point where they're going here. Overall, I'm willing to accept what they're doing here. It's like, and I like the fact that you know Volume 2 does actually try to you know do a lot of things different with the Metabaron's worldview, in addition to like retconning like what a lot of what we know about the cast of the Metabarons and their purpose. Like basically, like retconning like you know Othon's like formation of like the Metabaron clan to be like you know. It's like a despicable act rather than something that was honest. It's like just like showing you just how the universe is like you know slowly coming apart as a result of his decision, and how No Name or the Metabaron basically tries to find a way to like say that and living departing the universe like as a result. Like and also like Ornate basically like you know like finding out about this and then just you know following along as the ultimate act of a jilted lover. Like I said, this is where like things like start to get different where we like try to get see stuff that you know wasn't done like you know the same way or in like obvious ways as the original series. And this is where I kind of felt that hey you know like maybe it actually will be worthwhile just you know following this series to see where it goes in Volume 3 is well we've all seen Avatar right like either one movie or both movie or and that's basically when No Name basically finds himself it's like going through the dimensional portal on Marmorla to the home dimension of the Epiphyte, and basically like winding up in a place where like it's got a bunch of like warriors who are very suspiciously blue looking, compared to like say the characters in James Cameron's duology so far, and also just like him like the Metabaron just like you know slowly getting acclimated to life amongst these not Na'vi people, and also the Meta Guardianess, who's just like you know the guardian of all of the Epiphyte in this dimension. It's like I said, I went through a lot of this like the first volume, just basically feeling that okay, yeah, it's like maybe you didn't intentionally mean to do this, Jerry. But yeah, you're kind of like basically just doing like the you're doing Avatar with like lots more like headshots, murder, it's like and sex as well. It's like it's not bad, but it really takes like you know until the back half of the volume when the Metabaron basically you know he's been doing his whole like you know I'm a man of peace Well, okay, he's not really a man of peace. He's just like he's just done killing, and then he basically like has to revert to form. It's like in the back half in order to save save the entire universe. And that's that's kind of clever, but in the end, it's also shows you that that his real strength is in just finding violent solutions to the problems at hand. When it comes to finding like solutions to long-term solutions to what he's been doing, well, it's like that's not good. It's like he's just not good with that, and things end about as tragically as you'd expect. But that's still kind of interesting, especially when this volume ends with him finding out that the one thing he had sworn never to do, well, it's happening, and he's gonna have to deal with it. And in fact, that one thing he didn't have to do, well, it's compounded doubly in the next volume, which is the final volume of this, of the Meta Baron's second cycle, which is what this whole arc is being billed as. Because, well, let's just say that there was originally a volume called the Meta Baron's second cycle finale, which I looked and thought, holy crap, so this is like the final version of this, so I better go and pick it up. Thinking, hey, isn't it nice of them to offer it at the same time that the whole paperback collection of the entire the Meta Baron's second cycle is being offered? That's cool if humanoids. No, it's not, because if you're like me and you got book 4 when it came out, don't buy the Meta Baron's second cycle finale, because it's the same fucking volume. No, it turns out that, because basically this is just a 4-volume series, 8 volumes European, and this second cycle finale is just them repackaging book 4 on its own terms. Now, it's worth noting that book 3 advertised, hey, Asad Rabik was going to illustrate the final volumes, and they'll be coming in 2020. Now, you might be able to guess why this didn't come out in 2020, but it basically involves both a global pandemic, and also Rabik going back to Marvel to illustrate the Eternals with Kieran Gillen, which he did quite well, I'll say. And I look forward to seeing whatever he does next. But for whatever reason, Rick did not do the final volume of the Meta Baron, final volumes of the Meta Baron. And that wound up going to someone who I was not expecting to do this, because, well, this final volume was done by one Pete Woods. Now, Pete Woods is an American comic book artist who has a long history in the industry. He's done, he's worked on Stormwatch in the 90s, Robin in the 90s as well. He did Paul Cornell's Action Comics run. And lots of other Marvel and DC stuff. With the most recent thing I can think of that he did was Iron Man 2020. For Marvel, a couple of years ago, and that I covered in a podcast a while back. Woods is a guy who's known for doing solid quality superhero comics art, but he's also some guy who never kind of broke out in the same way that your Jim Lee's, your Todd McFarlane's, your Michael Turner's, broke out in terms of being able to sell artist art based on their names alone. That being said, the art he turns in on this final volume is really impressive, really detailed, really dynamic, and honestly, I'd call it career best work from him, based on what I've seen from him before. And it basically tells you the story of the Meta Baron and the Meta Baron's spawn. From the Meta Guardianess on Memorla in the alternate dimension, and in the familiar dimension that the storyline was always taking place in, but the son that he spawned in the alternate dimension, well, he's someone who is really bitter about what his dad has done, so he kills his mom as he escapes his dimension and tries to come to this dimension in order to, you know, I kill his dad and take his place as the it's like as the one true meta baron. And but this volume kind of really digs deep into like the idea that, you know, the meta baron just doesn't want to be the best fighter in the universe anymore. It's like, because when we finally catch up with him, he's just, you know, living like a unglorious life of a miner. And he's just really just, you know, like content to, you know, just, you know, just not be the best fighter in the universe anymore. And in fact, when his son finally catches up with him to kill him, to kind of psych, he says, like, fine, kill me and bring an end to the shame and dishonor that is my life. And, well, the volume, like, his son and the storytellers don't want to let him off that easy. So it's actually kind of interesting to see just, you know, like how he, how the Meta Baron tries to adapt to like this legacy that he's left. Someone who is just like, you know, who's like spent his life, you know, like, killing and fighting like any threat that comes his way, and just like realizing that it has not gotten him anywhere. It's like his life is not better for it. And even then, like, you know, his decisions to try and like, you know, run away from his legacy and what his ostensible destiny have only made his life worse in the process. It's like, it's actually like a kind of nice idea to consider for this, like for this finale, for this final volume. And I actually, like I said, I was, even though, like, you know, I don't think that, you know, like this, like the overall direction for these four volumes, has been like, you know, like coherent or just, you know, like really like, you know, solid in terms of like, you know, going from like pursuing like, you know, one clear idea about, you know, like the Meta Baron's life being like one that's like, you know, good or bad. But I think that this final volume does do a good job of selling you on the idea of, like, you know, the matter of no name, just like, you know, finally trying to like deal with like, you know, reckon with the choices he's made and try to find like a way forward. And the thing is, like, I probably would have done this podcast a lot sooner, you know, when Volume 4 came out in the Americas. Except the fact that, you know, its ending, you know, basically, you know, kind of leaves things pretty wide open as far as, like, you know, future stories. Like, I was kind of expecting, like, hey, you know, when are you going to get, you know, Book 5 and all? It's like, but it seems that, you know, this is the end of the Meta Baron story for now. And like I said, I don't think this is as good as the original Meta Barons series. It doesn't have like that, you know, like the insane level of ideas that Yodorovsky brought to every volume, or like the incredible art that Jimenez like gave to each volume as well. But it does do a good job of like trying to like of portraying like its main character as someone who is just like, you know, not wanting to be like this position that he was destined to be, and just like trying to find a way around that, and how things, his efforts to do that are just like messy, like quasi successful, and also like failure prone as well. I like that. And so like, I guess like if you like, I would say like, you know, go ahead and pick up the Meta Baron second cycle. It's like either in these four hardcover volumes or in like the like one volume paperback edition that Humanoids has just released. So I don't think that like it's a bad follow-up. I mean, yeah, it's messy, it's confused, but it's got consistently good art from all of the artists who contributed to it, and it's got, you know, at least it has an idea of what it wants, you know, No Name's like story to be. I just kind of wish that, you know, we had gotten like a more conclusive, you know, like wrap up here, even though like, because like basically it kind of reads like, you know, we're living off with the hope that, you know, hey, like third cycle will be coming eventually, maybe solely from Frisen, as Yodorovsky is now like in his 90s, and, you know, hey, if he's got ideas for it, cool, but if he just wants to, you know, like, you know, just, you know, spend the rest of his life living quiet retirement, like that, he's more than earned that as well. So yeah, like the Meta Barons, classic work, worthy in any serious comics fan's library. The Meta Baron, probably better than you'd expect in terms of like a follow-up to like to a work of that stature. So there you go, I guess. Well,
so you know what you're going to be talking about next time, sir?
Well, it's like, I guess, you know, it's like, I guess if we can get everyone on board, like, are we going to, we're going to do Void Rivals next time?
I think that that's a great idea, Jason.
Yeah, because like from one fictional universe to the new fictional universe, or at least what they're saying is like the new hotness fictional universe.
Yep, indeed. So, yeah, well, we'll have to see what tale they weave all around this entire fictional universe. So, you know,
based on toys and all. Yeah.
Based on toys, yes. Based on a franchise, yes.
Multiple franchises.
Maybe interjected with some new, fresh things. Who knows? So that's cool.
This is true.
All right, cool. Well, sounds good. And we'll catch you next time on Comic Picks by the Glick.
Laters, everyone.